You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW-FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. Once again tonight, I'm pleased to state that we return to a discussion of landlord-tenant law. With me in the studio tonight, my guests, both landlord-tenant attorneys who have each been exceptionally generous with their support for both Your Legal Rights program and its monthly Call a Lawyer night. Sal Timpano, representing both tenants and landlords, and Coy Driscoll, who solely represents tenants. Both are landlord-tenant attorneys practicing out of San Francisco. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number to us right here in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the local dialing area, call us toll-free. We'll pay the freight. That number is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. As always, you can call regarding any question regarding landlord-tenant law. You're not limited to the exact point we may be in our conversation. And Sal, Coy, let me welcome each of you to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to be here and to be on KALW.
You know, before we go further, my guests are here month after month to help with landlord-tenant issues. Week after week, we're here to educate, to entertain, but most importantly, to help. There is a way that you can help. And with that, let me introduce you to Jim Anderson from our development team.
Hey, it's so great to be with you again, Jeff. I got to sit in with you last night to help encourage support of Your Legal Rights. And apparently we had enough fun that you wanted me to come back and see if we could encourage a few people to give it a call to support this program.
Yeah, I was looking at ways we could try to make this work year-round, but we have tonight.
Well, Jeff, we should let our listeners know that this is the last night during our spring membership drive that they have the opportunity to support Your Legal Rights while we are actively live on the air asking them to. Of course, you can support any program on KALW year-round when you visit KALW.org. You may choose to make a one-time contribution of $100 or $500 or maybe even $1,000, but many people are choosing to make monthly contributions at the $10 or $20 or $50 level, and all they do is they make that contribution and click Make It Monthly. So, but you can also call in. We have a special number if you'd like to make a contribution that will be different than your call-in number, and the fundraising number to make that donation is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. We do have a special treat for you. If you can make a contribution at the $120 level, we would love to send you the 20th edition of NOLO's California Tenants' Rights. You'll get legal information in the forms you need to sign or break a lease, to get your deposit back, to fight an eviction, if there was a situation with withholding rights, or to protect your rights under rent control. This is a great book. If you found just one item in here that helped you solve a problem, it would be worth far more than a $120 contribution. So consider making that contribution now at 800-525-9917. Let them know that you'd like the California Tenants' Rights books, or if you donate online at KALW.org, simply make that reference in the comments.
Thank you, Jim. And with that, I'd like to turn to my guests who are lawyers that practice landlord-tenant law. The book is a wonderful resource. It's not a substitute for an attorney, and we have two fine landlord-tenant attorneys here in the studio with you. And again, I'd like to welcome you back. Coy, Sal, I'd like to start with this. We talked a little bit about some new things for 2019, and it looks like some of those are ramping up as we speak. One of them was an interesting program in San Francisco called Lawyers for All. Just what is that?
Yeah, Coy and I were talking about that before the program started, and he reminded me that the Lawyers for All program is starting to go into effect. And he also mentioned the three-day notice. Coy, you may know a little bit more about the Lawyers for Everybody
right.
Than I do.
In speaking with some of my colleagues on the this is Coy Driscoll. Speaking with some of my colleagues on the tenants bar, or in the tenants bar, the program. Sorry, let me back up. Last fall, the voters passed an initiative saying that no tenant should go without a lawyer. And the city is in the process of trying to set that up, fund it using existing legal assisting organizations such as Eviction Defense Collaborative, legal assistance to the elderly. And the program is not fully rolled out nor fully funded. And it's a wonderful idea to have something like this. But the way I – when I talk to people, the way I sort of distinguish it is the service you get at a dental clinic and there's the service you get from an experienced dentist. And while the people who are participating in this are, in a lot of cases, new enthusiastic lawyers, they don't have the seasoning of someone like, frankly, Sal or myself. So just like with a dental clinic, with a dental situation, it's better to go to a clinic than to do your own dentistry at home. It certainly would be better to have access to this Lawyers for All Tenants program, but you may still want to consider the benefits of hiring a private lawyer.
These lawyers in the tenants in the Lawyers for All program, are they all landlord-tenant lawyers primarily?
I don't think so. And Coy also has some information on that. But no, they're not. They may become, but they're not all necessarily going to go in that way. Coy,
right? Yeah, they may be as of that day. Tenant lawyers, and they may even have some experience. But, you know, I've been practicing landlord-tenant law in San Francisco for 27 years. Sal's been doing it for a very long time.
At least 18.
Right. And, you know, the depth and the nuance that you get from hiring someone like that, as opposed to somebody a year or two out of law school, is just – it is measurable.
So it sounds to be a great program. Just having gone through law school and having some experience, we know a bit about persuading judges how to read what the laws are and the like. That might not be accessible to everybody. So it's a huge advantage to going by yourself, but it's no substitute for somebody who's in those trenches every day and knows how to analyze a case.
That's right, Jeff. And, you know, over time, I imagine the program and its participants, the attorneys, will, you know, get better and better. That will take some time, right? I mean, it's not going to happen quickly.
Right. The trouble is that these programs cannot pay the type of salaries that a private law firm or a private practice pays, so that if these newer lawyers are looking for a affordable life, and certainly an affordable life in the Bay Area, they may not stay with the Eviction Defense Collaborative with legal assistance to the elderly for 10, 20 years and end up with the seasoning that such as Sal and I and other practitioners have.
Yep. That's pretty much it. And, you know, then there's the old adage where it's better than nothing. You know, they're getting
Absolutely.
Assistance, you know, and it's better than nothing. And even though the attorneys themselves that are representing the clients might not have a lot of experience in the beginning, the organizations like the Eviction Defense Collaborative are run by attorneys that are very experienced. So they're going to have access to the experience, and overall it'll be a much better experience for the tenants that are being, you know, evicted than to go it alone and pro per.
Absolutely, Gab. Yeah. You know, you never want to deal with a lawyer without representation. As I often say, you're swimming in shark-infested waters.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, in a lot of ways, it's also a little bit more difficult for the landlord attorney to work with a pro per. There's some difficulties there. And so if there's an attorney on board for the tenant, you have an attorney's office to deal with. And there's a lot of benefits to that from the perspective of the landlord's attorney. To have a counsel on the other side rather than a pro per.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden, and tonight we're talking landlord-tenant law with Coy Driscoll and Sal Timpano. If you have questions for my guests, we're here waiting to take your calls at 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, you can call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. We did get one caller that reached out to me before the show started, did not want to go on the air, but brought up some very interesting issues. This person has a rental unit that she rents out. It's far from home.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with a real estate company that was to find tenant for her. They did something that I would consider a huge mistake. In screening this tenant, they talked to the current landlord rather than the previous landlord. And apparently, someone who really wanted this person to leave gave a glowing recommendation. They did not pull a credit check. Now they've had a tenant who paid his initial deposit, hasn't paid a dime since. He's been in for close to a year. He's running the court ragged by making motions that make no sense, anti-slap suits, all kinds of stuff. The latest is he's filed bankruptcy.
Ah.
So this poses two questions, and I'll give them both to you at once. One of them is, what does somebody do? If you're a small mom and pop, you don't own apartment buildings and shopping centers, you may have one house in another city. What kind of relief is available for somebody who is clearly knowing how to game it? The other question is, how do you find a lawyer when it's that far from home? We know who the top lawyers are in San Francisco. You guys are right here in the studio, and a couple of others that are on that short list that couldn't make it in. But when you're hundreds of miles away, how do you find the right lawyer? Do you really need to find somebody local or bring somebody in?
So I'll just say this. I know Coy will agree with me on this. You got to find somebody local. If you have a landlord-tenant dispute in San Francisco, you need somebody local as close to San Francisco, if not in San Francisco. That's for sure.
This is Coy. Yeah, I absolutely do agree with Sal because although there are state laws that deal with landlord-tenant issues, in San Francisco's and other communities throughout the state, particularly the Bay Area, laid over that are rent control ordinances and also rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get some lawyer, and I'm not meaning to pick on Barstow, but from Barstow, who's not familiar with landlord-tenant law in San Francisco, they're not going to be effective in representing either a landlord or a tenant.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct. You can't just read the rent ordinance either. You have to work with it because it doesn't apply exactly the way it might be read. Not to say that it's not the clearest piece of writing in the first place, but nonetheless, in working with it, it does become sort of second nature. After a while, you kind of understand where it came from and why it's being used the way it is. So San Francisco landlord-tenant law is very, very local. You know, I mean, we all know each other, you know, and we learn from each other, and we learn by getting beat up, you know. So if you haven't done that here, it's very difficult to be effective.
Now, as we know, this is Coy Driscoll again. As we know, I don't represent landlords. But what I will tell you is that a lot of small-time landlords, Jeff, like the people to whom you're referring, who don't have a lawyer because they think, oh, I'm just renting out a house, oh, I'm just renting out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-unit building. What they fail to realize is they're in a business, and part of the necessary cost of that business is having a lawyer and having one before you have a problem. And I will go further and say that if you're a landlord in San Francisco, you are not only running a business, you are running a business in a heavily regulated industry. So if you wouldn't do uranium processing without having counsel who knows what they're doing, don't be a landlord in San Francisco without that.
Yeah, and you said that before, Coy, and I got to agree with you on that. I think it's the right way to do it, you know, to start looking for that. But, you know, a landlord out of town, they can always call the San Francisco Bar Association and get a referral, you know, and start meeting attorneys that way. But they really should have local counsel if they're going to litigate, or as Coy says, even rent property, you know, own property in San Francisco for rental.
The other thing I'm finding in my own practice is that when you go into a new jurisdiction, sometimes it's an advantage in the sense that they don't know all the arrows in your quiver. You can bring out things that perhaps they don't expect. But overall, given that most cases settle at some point, don't you want to have some credibility with the people who are your adversaries in that case, so that you can reach an accord in a way you couldn't otherwise? And I can't imagine the same wouldn't be true in landlord-tenant or family law or most other areas that we deal with.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Jeff. Being a player in the – it's a small bar on both sides. There's a limited number of lawyers, and as Sal says, we've dealt with each other for decades, sometimes happily, sometimes not as happily. But we sure know each other, and we know who is good. We know whose word is good, and we know who the new kids on the block are, and we wonder what they're about.
And, you know, with the quivers, if you're new to this, it's very difficult to have a quiver that's going to impress anybody. It just doesn't – it takes a long time to get the right quivers. If you pull out the wrong one, be better not to have pulled one out at all. Because it just makes you stand out that much further, and it's tough. It's hard to evict a tenant in San Francisco because they're fighting for their home, you know, and it's just not going to go easy. So you need experienced counsel on both sides.
And you mentioned about learning by getting beaten up. And, of course, if you hire somebody without any experience or without knowledge in the area, they're going to learn by getting beaten up, and you're not going to bear the benefits of having that lawyer. Maybe you won't be without any benefit, but you won't be at the same level you would if you hired somebody local.
I agree. And I really don't think they can get by with somebody that's not local. I mean, I think, you know, even with somebody local, if they're not experienced, you're going to have problems. But at least, you know, they have a vested interest in doing the best job they can and trying to learn, you know, how to apply the best arguments in the law.
Right. And to follow up on that, I think that one of the things that you find with both lawyers and visiting judges who are sitting in San Francisco, it's difficult for them to conceptualize the fact that just because the lease expires, you don't have to leave. And that is one of the integral parts of eviction control. And so if you don't have a lawyer who is thinking that way, who is still thinking like they would in, say, most of the Central Valley, where, oops, your lease is up, time to go, or we gave you 60 days notice, time to go, it's going to be more difficult for you to get the quality of representation you deserve. You
know, and I've got just a short story on that. I was with a judge in Chambers, and the judge had been a judge in San Francisco for a very long time. And he was looking at the lease, and he said, "So let me get this straight. Are you telling me that this lease is a lease in perpetuity?" I said, "Yeah, you got it right. That's it." You know, and this was a judge that was in San Francisco for a long, long time. We were in a settlement conference, and I thought we were well beyond that. But that was the question that I was asked. You know, and I understand where he was coming from. You know, and he said, "Wait a minute." You know, the light bulb went on, and he said, "Oh, are you telling me that this is a forever, month to month, in perpetuity?" I said, "Yeah, yes, it is. That's what it is." You know, and it took a while, you know, for me to realize that not all the judges know that. You know, So
unlike most places where a month-to-month means either party can walk away pretty readily with a minimal amount of notice, it sounds like in San Francisco the tenant has an upper hand as long as they're meeting their obligations.
Coy may not call it an upper hand, but maybe he would. I don't know. But they have that. That's certainly an advantage. It's an eviction control. Can't evict the tenant pursuant to state law. You've got to go through the San Francisco Rent Ordinance, which has a list of 16 causes to evict. And if you don't have one of those 16 causes as a landlord, you cannot attempt to evict the tenant.
And you're right, Sal. I would not call it an upper hand, but what I would call it is that the disparity of power between the landlord and the tenant is not as great. And the reason for that is the basically, if someone is evicted in San Francisco, unless they are making well into the six figures, they better get ready to leave the Bay Area. So it's not just leaving your home or even leaving San Francisco. You're relocating.
With that, let me turn it over to Debbie in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I'm a little distressed about the show so far because it sounds like an infomercial for the rich tenant lawyers in this city, because all you're saying is, oh, you need to get a tenant lawyer. You need to get a tenant lawyer. And I am one of the few landlords here who's not rich. I have a $1 million mortgage. I happen to have tenants. And they treat me horribly, horribly. You should see what they say. The demands that are made, I had a tenant charge. I had to spend $30,000 to get a tenant out of my house who was selling drugs and had a pit bull. And her boyfriend had a pit bull in my house. And I had to pay them $30,000. And it sounds like now it's gotten even worse. The tenant lawyers, it sounds like that person that was there had a whole year to live before they could. The tenant was even able to find one of those 16 reasons. It's not enough that they're not paying their rent. We have to find one of the 16 reasons. And these lawyers make out like bandits. He made out with you, probably this who you, I'm talking to right now, made off with $30,000 from me, and probably another $30,000 from somebody else. And it's just become ridiculous. You know, the tenants just treat us like we're dirt, you know? And if we tell them about the laws that are in their lease, they're like, they slam us, they're aggressive, they're mean, they're entitled. And it's become such a place that you just don't even want to rent to anybody anymore.
Debbie, one of the comments that came up earlier, which I believe I was the one who made, and I think you would be in accord, it seems that the scale is very much tipped toward the side of the tenant when you're in San Francisco. The caller that I made with the lady, with the guy who'd been in the place for a year, her property isn't here in San Francisco. It's way across the state in another community. I don't want to mention it, and it's a small enough community that it would give up who it was that was calling. But there are times when somebody knows how to game the system, and unfortunately it sounds like you had one. Certainly she has one. He's done this before. And the big mistake that the rental company made in renting to him is to check his references with his current and not anybody before. So without a credit check, without checking with any previous landlords, you're talking to one person who would be more than happy to let them go. And that's exactly what happened. It sounds like you've had a miserable experience, and a lot of us have watched the movie Pacific Heights. It somewhat sounds like you lived it.
Aye, sounds like it.
Well, this is James Koidrosko again, and Debbie, I'm sorry to hear of your experience, but, you know, Jeff mentions the movie Pacific Heights, and I remember watching it and realizing exactly the point where the landlord made the fatal gaffe. And as we were talking about before, if the landlords in that movie and in real life had a good, effective landlord's attorney in place before they tried to be landlords, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, Debbie, this is Sal Timpano. I'm sorry to hear about your experience. The comments that Coy and I were making, and maybe perhaps Jeff, I don't recall now, about having an attorney on your side, whether you're a landlord or tenant, is not so much because Coy and I need business. I mean, it's really not, you know, there's a lot of work out there. It's simply because we know how difficult it is to navigate not only the court system, but landlord-tenant laws in particular. And it's taken years and years to understand them in a way that they can be explained to a judge or to a jury. So it's sound advice for anybody that's going to be a landlord for sure in San Francisco. And if a tenant is being evicted, they really need to find an attorney to help them, because otherwise they may not only get evicted when they shouldn't get evicted, but they may get evicted in a way that's going to make them have to leave the Bay Area, as opposed to maybe being able to to stay. You know,
Debbie, I'm sorry you experienced that, but to be candid with you, the overwhelming majority of landlords and tenants, particularly in small mom-and-pop type situations, get along well. They're together for a long, long time. Things are not acrimonious. And our whole show tonight is really looking for the time when things have broken down. And particularly in a situation like yours, it doesn't seem like there are any winners. And I'm sorry you experienced that, but thank you for sharing your thoughts and for joining us tonight. We will turn it over to Janet in Oakland. Janet, we may have to cut off briefly, but welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thank you. So I would like some clarification, if possible, about your, was there an initiative in San Francisco where there was some funded program where tenants who need lawyers can get lawyers paid for by the city? And that's one thing, one question. And the other question is, if that's the case, is there some kind of parallel effort in the East Bay for that kind of thing?
Okay, this is James Coy Driscoll. Janet, yes, there was an initiative. It was on the ballot last fall. The voters of San Francisco passed that, and indicating that it should be publicly funded. And in terms of the East Bay, I'm not aware of any particular measure now pending, and I would freely admit that I'm not as cognizant of the politics in there as are some of my colleagues, especially practicing over there. But to my knowledge, no.
And could you tell us what's the measure that was passed in San Francisco, the number or the name? Or
I don't know is the short answer. I'm sorry. I voted for it, but I don't know it now.
Okay. Thank you.
Janet, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 FM in San Francisco. And we'll be back right after this.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's lawyer referral service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.
We have a special offer to encourage you to support Your Legal Rights this evening. My name is Jim Anderson. I'm a member of the development team here at KALW, and I'd encourage you to support this public service program that we've been bringing to the Bay Area for a very long time. Perhaps many of you have benefited from services we've provided before through this program, through information and knowledge that you may have gained. Visit us at KALW.org or call us at the special fundraising number, not the call-in number, but the fundraising number is 800-525-9917. That's 525-9917. If you call that number or if you visit us at KALW.org and you make a $120 contribution, we would be very pleased to send you an excellent book dealing with tonight's program. This is NOLA's edition of the California Tenants' Rights. There's a huge list of accolades within this book about the nature and the value of these publications from NOLA. This book, California Tenants' Rights, is more than 400 pages long. It looks like there's more than 30 documents that you can print from this book, and there's a link where you can go download forms as well. So for just $120, whether in a one-sum amount or by becoming a sustaining member at just $10 or more per month at KALW.org, we'll be glad to send this book to you. And it covers so many different issues. One of the things that I really enjoyed was looking through all of the different charts that are available to you, interactive forms, all these different things that can serve you, whether you are a landlord or a tenant. Consider making a contribution now to support Your Legal Rights at KALW.org.
Thank you, Jim. And again, tonight we're talking landlord-tenant with James Coy Driscoll and Sal Timpano. If you have questions for my guests, call us right here in the studio at 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And you're not limited to where we are in a given conversation. You could jump in with any of your landlord-tenant questions, as will Mindy from San Francisco. You're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Good evening. I'm calling in because I'd like to just weigh in a little bit as a tenant who actually is right now going through an Ellis Act eviction, and we are fighting. And I would say that the Proposition F, the tenant's right to counsel, which passed by a wonderful majority, they put that on the ballot because we do know that 1 in 4 evictions in San Francisco is fraudulent. And I think the thinking behind that was that perhaps if there was something, some access to legal counsel for tenants, and the field was leveled, that maybe these fraudulent evictions would be decreased or diminished. And I will also say I agree with your guests. It is essential to have a good lawyer. It's a very, very scary thing, and the law is extremely complicated. There is no way that an inexperienced person or even an inexperienced lawyer could find their way through. But I would just push back a little bit on there are good landlords and there are good tenants, and then there are bad landlords and bad tenants. We've gotten to a very tribal place in our city, which is unfortunate. I re-landscaped my own backyard on my own dime and put in a drip irrigation system on my own dime for my old landlord, and then he gave our building to his son, who is a realtor, and he has a home and he owns a couple other buildings, and we're the oldest rent controlled tenant,
and now he has a stream of income. Mindy, I'm gonna ask you to pause right there before we go further.
Yeah.
Would one of my guests take a step back? Mindy a couple of times mentioned an Ellis Act eviction. Most, you know, those of us in the room know about the Ellis Act, but perhaps some of the other listeners don't. Can you tell us a little bit so that what Mindy was saying could be put in context?
Sure. This is James Coy Driscoll. The Ellis Act is a state law that allows landlords to go out of the residential rental business. And I think that Mindy's comment about the necessity of having an experienced tenant's lawyer when you're a tenant lawyer, when you're a tenant looking at an Ellis Act, is absolutely accurate. For example, in San Francisco, if the landlord is attempting to take the entire building out of the residential rental use, not only must the proper notices be given, but if the person, the tenant, is disabled, they are entitled to, instead of 120 days to move, they're entitled to 1 year. And they're entitled to a approximately $4,000 bump up in the relocation money. Now, the catch is you have to request this disability status and provide documentation within 30 days. And if you don't, you lose it. So that's why trying to go it alone is so perilous. But, you know, if you, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, you know, you really do need to get some professional help.
Mm-hmm. And what is the story of the landlord keeps changing? What if it starts off first as a relative move-in, and then it shifts to an owner move-in, and then it shifts to an Ellis Act? Doesn't that have the appearance of being fickle, or
I think the word you're looking for is in bad faith with an ulterior motive, and that's exactly what the ordinance prohibits people from doing, is acting without good faith and acting with an ulterior motive. And that's why, and I forgive me for beating the drum, that's why you need professional help to deal with those issues, as yes. It sounds like you may have already gotten.
Yes, and it's quite an education for probably for the landlords, but for the tenants too. So thank you for this excellent program, and good luck to anyone who's being evicted. I'd encourage you to get a good lawyer and to fight.
Mindy, thank you for their comments, and thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Tina from San Francisco, you're on Your Legal Rights. Welcome.
Hi. I have a very basic question. I'm just wondering whose responsibility it is to be in a rental property for repairmen or plumbers. Is it the landlord's responsibility to be there, or am I supposed to be there? Because I've taken off a lot of work, and I can't keep doing that, and my landlord sort of is refusing to be present.
So, Tina, if it sounds like your phone may be a little close to your radio, but if I understand your question correctly, your question is you have somebody coming to the home or apartment for a repair, and whose responsibility is it to be there to meet the repair person, the tenant or the landlord?
Correct.
Coy, Tina, as far as I know, neither has to be there. The landlord can post a notice to have a repairman come in or a repair person, and the tenant can be there if they want, but they don't have to be. If you wanted to be there, which it sounds like you don't want to be there anymore, but if you wanted to be there, you could ask for a date for that repair to occur that's, reasonably accommodates you being there. But you can't require the landlord to be there when the landlord's contractor comes in. You agree,
Quinn? So am I supposed to give them a key then?
Nope, the landlord would have to provide access. You don't have to provide access. I mean, you wouldn't leave your door open or go out of your way to give a key to the repair person. The landlord would have to arrange for them to get in.
And I'm going, I agree with what Sal is saying, and I'm going to segue off of that. Sometimes when landlords are looking to either sell the property or a tenant's going to move out and they're going to re-rent, either one, they expect the tenant to show the property for them, or in the alternative, they want the tenant to get out while the open house is going on. Neither is required.
Okay.
So I know that what doesn't speak to your issue, but I'm sure there's people out there listening who are in that situation. They should know that.
Yep, that's a good point.
Tina, I hope
Thank you.
Tina, thank you for joining us. I hope we've been of help. And that's really why we're here tonight. That's why you gentlemen keep coming back. That's why we have this show. It's not just for the pizza. It's not. We entertain. We try to educate. But most importantly, we are here to help. We've been talking tonight and last week about ways that you can help us to continue this service, to be continuing to provide this advice for free. The Call a Lawyer program we do every month for free. That's really our mission. And we'd like to talk to you a little bit of how you can help us to continue the mission. And with that, let me turn it back to Jim Anderson.
Well, Jeff, I've been really enjoying this conversation. A lot that I didn't know, and I'm sure that there's many of our listeners that know far more than me, so they may be truly enjoying this as well. Thanks to everyone who has called so far this evening. As Jeff, as you had shared with me at a previous time, this is a program that's been serving the Bay Area for a very long time.
I believe it's 35 years
now.
Chuck Finney started this program. He was on a break. He left the DA's office. He found his calling was really in radio. And ultimately, he found a way to serve both. So he had this program going. It was all about consumer protection and education. And he brought it to the station, and he kept it going for 34 of the last 35 years.
I can just think of the thousands of people that have been served by this program over the many years that it's been made available. So we encourage you to support this show that continues to serve the Bay Area and serve those who may not always know whether or not they can afford or whether they need legal counsel. But hopefully we answer a lot of those questions for you. You can support this now. Call us at 800-525-9917. That's contribution line is 800-525-9917. Or you can make a contribution online at kalw.org. And when you get there, should you choose to make a $10 or $15 or $20 per month contribution, don't forget to click Make It Monthly. Much like other subscription services that you might use, think about how much service KALW provides you every month. So consider making a monthly contribution by visiting kalw.org. And if you can make a $10 or more per month contribution or a one-time contribution of $120, we will send you NOLA's 20th edition of California Tenants' Rights. This book shows a little seal on the front that says more than 300,000 of these books have been sold. And we're not trying to sell you this book. Frankly, if you wanted, you could get it online cheaper. We're offering this as a thank you gift because this is something where you can support a service that you use and get a very valuable resource, because while this is a book, it seems much more like a resource or an investment. Make that contribution at kalw.org of $10 per month or a one-time gift of $120.
Jim, thank you for that. And I did get a call from a listener who mentions, I see ads on listservs or various other places by either homeowners or master tenants who are offering sublets for a limited period of time, limited number of months. And if a subtenant agrees to rent but refuses to move out at the end of the sublease, is that agreement enforceable in a rent-controlled jurisdiction like San Francisco?
A sublease is a lease. They have a right to tenants. They have tenants' rights, and just because it's in the written document that they have to move out in a certain period of time, if that's not going to be enforceable, there's certain things that need to be in writing for subtenancies, but cutting the tenancy short after they've been there more than 30 days is not one of them.
I would agree with Sal that the fact that it's in a document doesn't necessarily mean that it is legally effective. And even if they're not there for 30 days, I don't really think we need a 30-day cutoff. But what the... If we're talking about San Francisco and we're talking about property that's subject to the rent ordinance, which is basically anything that has a certificate of occupancy before June 13, 1979, then both any tenancies and subtenancies are subject to the rent ordinance. In fact, a master tenant renting to a subtenant is in a somewhat less advantageous position than a landlord renting to a tenant because, one, they can't get rid of the tenant by using an Ellis Act or an owner move-in because they don't own the property. The other disadvantage to the master tenant is that before the tenant moves in, they must disclose in writing both the amount of the total rent that they are paying to the landlord, and that if they don't want the just cause provisions of the ordinance to apply, if they want to be able to evict somebody with 30 or 60 days notice, they have to tell them that in writing before the tenant moves in. So, you know, I know there's a lot of landlords out there who don't seek counsel, and by a factor of at least 10, I'm sure there's master tenants who don't seek counsel. And so the short answer to the question is, yes, subtenants have rights, especially in San Francisco, and in some ways they even have more rights than tenants.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Oh, one last thing. The amount of rent that the subtenant is paying has to be proportional to the square footage that they have of the unit. So they can't have 10% of the square footage, the closet with a with a bed jammed in it, and be paying 90% of the rent.
That's correct. Yep.
Tonight on Your Legal Rights, we're talking landlord-tenant law with Sal Timpano and James Coit Driscoll. If you have questions for my guests, our phone number in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the calling area, if you're not in San Francisco proper, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. You still have some time to get in before the end of the show. And as always, you can call about any landlord-tenant question. You're not limited to the point we may be in our conversation. And again, if you're calling from outside of San Francisco, toll-free 866-798-8255. One of the things that I understand has changed or is about to change is the three-day notice.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, start by telling us a little bit about what a three-day notice is, and then talk about how it's going to change?
All right. I'll take the first part. A three-day notice is a state law notice. All California counties are subject to that. Landlords serve the notice for various breaches of the lease. Common one is non-payment of rent. And the way it's worked and currently works is the notice is served, and the very next day is the first day, and each consecutive day counts until you get to the third day. So an extreme example is a notice is served on Friday. It expires on Monday. At the end of the day on Monday, it expires, and the landlord is entitled to file an eviction action on Tuesday morning. And a lot of them would do exactly that. So if you're served Friday night as a tenant, you have to scramble on Monday to find somebody to talk to about that notice before the complaint is filed. Coy, want to take it from here?
I absolutely agree with you. The only thing I would point out is at present, the notice has to expire on a day essentially where the courts are open. It can't expire on a weekend or it can't expire on a holiday. However, as Sal very accurately said, those days do count as part of the 3 days. But all this is going to change come September 1st when instead of it being a 3-calendar-day notice, it will turn into a 5-court-day notice. And that means since the courts are closed Saturday and Sunday, that, and also on a number of holidays, that it will be in effect at least 1 calendar week that a tenant will have to act under the 3-day notice, whether it's to pay the rent, whether it's to fix the alleged violation of the lease, or if it's a non-fixable violation, to choose whether they want to leave or fight it. So that will be a much more, in my mind, reasonable position and fairer position for the landlords.
Is that solely
before the tenants?
Is that statewide or is that San Francisco?
Statewide. That's statewide, and it's going to take effect when, Coy?
September 1.
September 1st, that'll take effect. So a lot of lawyers are going to have to recount their 3-day notice deadlines.
And let me turn it to Mark in San Francisco. You're on Your Legal Rights.
Hi, good evening. Two quick questions. The first is, I'm what I would call a small-time landlord. I have a single condo that I rent out to a very nice couple. It's my contingency plan, though, should I have to move. I'm trying to understand if I were to justifiably need to move in myself and occupy my property, are they entitled to relocation payments? There's a couple, and I've understood that it could be $4,000 each.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. This is Sal Timpano. When was that condo built? The reason I ask is Coy mentioned the date earlier in the program, June 13, 1979. That's critical to your question.
So I should know that off the top of my head, and I would need to consult my documents. However, I do believe it was built prior to that time.
Okay, so if it was built prior to that time, it's a single-family residence. It's subject to eviction controls, which means that those tenants would be entitled to relocation funds. Those relocation payments right now, I think, are a little over $6,000 per person. And then, as Coy mentioned earlier, an additional $4,000 for disability. It's a little over $10,000, maybe close to $11,000 per person. Is the $30,000 cap still in place?
I believe it's in place, but only it's only in place for the number of tenants. There can be only whatever the tenants are getting paid. It's three times that the last time I looked. However, there's no cap on the per-person disability.
Correct.
Cap. So if there's hypothetically 10 people at residence and they're all disabled, they can get that. And one thing that people should realize is that there's various definitions of disability. And the definition of disability that applies here is the one found in state law, which is a very broad definition of disability, which basically says if you have any medical condition, psychological condition that impairs a basic life activity, regardless of how you can mitigate that, then you are disabled. For example, I'm sitting here with glasses on. DMV requires me to have glasses to drive. For the purpose of that, for that definition of disability, I'm disabled and therefore in that situation would be entitled to the extra money.
So it sounds as though something that just about everybody can find a way to qualify for.
Kind of. It's a very low standard.
Very low.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you for joining us. I hope that was of some help, and I don't recommend talking about a future of moving into your property with your tenants. Probably better to keep that on the lowdown. Thank you for joining us. Let me turn it to Simon in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. My building needs an earthquake retrofit, and the owners have made no effort to do this, I believe. There's been no sign of any engineers, and they don't answer our emails about it. I'm curious to know, and it has to be done in September or by September. So I'm curious to know, is it possible for them to just sort of let this period of time run out and have the building become condemned, and then they can turn us all out and sell it?
Simon, this is Sal Timpano. I'll say that that's highly unlikely, impossible. That's not a viable game plan. And Coy was going to jump at this question. He allowed me to just get that out because I just had to get it off my chest. But Coy has something to add to this as well.
Simon, James Coy Driscoll here. I agree with what Sal said. I think what's going to happen is the building isn't going to get condemned. The landlord is going to get cited by Department of Building Inspection, be dragged into a director's hearing, and forced to make the corrections, or the city will make them and put a lien on the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Simon, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights. We're nearing the end of the hour. I wanted to give each of you about a minute for any closing thoughts you have.
Oh, Jeff, it was a pleasure to be on the program. I enjoyed the calls. I enjoyed being here with you and Coy. It was a good night. I hope we got a lot of donations as well, because I think the program is beneficial to its listeners.
And this is James Coy Driscoll. I agree with what Sal said. Jeff, I appreciate having us on the program. I think that these people who are both listening and who are calling in are engaged in their life, engaged in their situation, and the kind of people who, you know, are going to be successful because they don't just bury their head in the sand. And I will give a pitch for that NOLO book. It's an excellent book. In fact, in my practice, when I've looked at new areas of practice to get an overview of how it works, I go out and buy the NOLO book.
Thank you both. We have about a minute left, and we're here to help you, but I'd like to give one last chance for us to tell you how you can help us. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I do appreciate that encouragement of support for the station, as we all do here. KALW has been a service of the San Francisco Unified School District for now nearly 80 years. This is something that is very important to us, to continue to provide public services, and we believe that this is one of our treasures, one of the shows that our listeners enjoy so much. So thank you so much for the contributions that we've received from a few generous listeners tonight. We have a couple of folks who said that it is an awesome show. One in particular said that they really enjoy the program. However, in each of these cases, the contributors have chosen to remain anonymous, which you can, of course, do. So visit us at KALW.org and make a contribution of either $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, and we will send you this 20th edition of NOLO's California Tenant Rights. And I was chatting with Martin here a moment ago, and he reminded me that when it comes to books like this that offer legal advice, they don't age well. You want to get one that's new, so you might be able to find one. But if you do choose to order one or pick one up at a bookstore, make sure you look and see what edition it is. This is the 20th edition, so it has a lot of up-to-date information, and there are links so that you can go get downloaded forms. And it, in fact, says that you will keep up to date, because if there are important changes to the book, they'll post the updates on their website. So visit us at KALW.org. Make that contribution of $10 a month or more, or a one-time contribution of $120, and we will send you this book. It's entirely up to you. And there are some of you out here who maybe you've benefited tonight, maybe you've benefited in the past, maybe you know someone who has. And if the book isn't right for you, we'd still love to hear from you. Call us at 800-525-9917. That's 525-9917 with a gift of any size to support your listening.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for helping us keep the doors open, keep the show afloat. Thank you to those of you who participated and donated and helped to support our show. And while I'm saying thanks, I neglected to thank the Golden State Warriors for this week. They actually had the good taste to play last night, so let me thank them for that. I'm Jeff Hayden. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW-FM 91.7 in San Francisco, where tonight we've been talking landlord-tenant. My guest tonight have both been landlord-tenant attorneys who have each participated in this program many, many times and are regular participants in our Call a Lawyer Night with offices in San Francisco, Sal Timpano and James Coy Driscoll. Let me thank you both for participating tonight, for coming.
Thank you, Jeff.
Pleasure. Thank you.
We return next week with Your Legal Rights here on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco, or again online at KALW.org. For the production assistant, Martin McLean, and at the controls, Joanne Marr, I'm Jeff Hayden, and our thanks to you for listening. And have a good night. We'll be right back.